Well, as Alan just said, we are at week 7 on our series, in our series on James. And here is a list of the topics that we have covered so far. Hopefully you will remember some of them. Faith under pressure. Act on what you hear. The royal rule that we looked at on Father's Day with Clayton. Faith in action. Michelle shared with us a couple of weeks ago about watching your mouth. Sarah shared last week about why can't we all just get along. And today, as I've already said, we are looking at patience, or as we have called it, wait for it. Well, I grew up being told, mostly by my grandmother, that patience is a virtue. And I never had any idea of what she meant as a young child. But I believed most things that she told me, including that if I didn't eat my crust, my hair wouldn't go curly. I had very, very straight hair as a child, and I didn't eat my crust. So obviously my grandma didn't lie, but I took her word for the patience thing as well. Patience is a virtue. I am a lot more patient than some other members of my family in general life, except there are some things that I'm still working on. And one of them is that I can become very impatient with slow walkers. Whether it's me walking from here down to Coles, just down the road, just dawdle along, people. We're on a mission. If we're going to a cafe, we walk quickly. And there was an incident not too long ago where we were walking to a cafe, Sarah and I, with a couple of other people, and they wanted to know why we were walking so fast, and that's just the way I walk. Even in the supermarket, I don't dawdle. Like, you get in there, walk around and get out. Perhaps walking to a meeting. There's just to be no dawdling, people. And look out, don't ever walk slowly in front of me in a shopping centre, because that really annoys me more than anything. Dave used to say to me before he got a bit older, "Why do you walk so fast all the time? You might as well run." And maybe that's true, but now that he's older, he appreciates that we just walk fast rather than run all the time. But James says in chapter 5, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." Be patient then until the Lord's coming. Well, I read earlier this week that God is not going to right all the wrongs in this world until Jesus returns. And so we as Christians need to patiently endure and expect. How often have we heard that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that life will be free from challenges or difficulties? How often have we had to endure and live through really tough seasons? How often have we asked, and I put myself in this category, have we asked God to move quicker, to give us an answer? How often have we asked, how much longer do I need to endure this current situation that I'm going through? Well, James, in his wisdom, in just those few verses that Alan read to us, he gives us three examples of people, of groups of people who show patience. And they are examples that I think that we can follow and learn from. Firstly, he talks about the farmer. Well, everybody knows that I am a crazy indoor plant lady, but some of you may not know that I'm also a crazy avocado seed and plant lady. This craziness commenced in September 2019 when, spontaneously after eating an avocado, I thought that I would try to grow an avocado plant from the seed of the avocado that I'd just eaten. Now, to be fair, I had seen that my father-in-law had done this, and so I Googled what to do, discovered that I just needed a jar, some toothpicks and water and a seed, all of which I had. And so you stick the toothpicks in, you can come and have a look later, put it in a jar and I put it on the kitchen windowsill. So I sat it there and I waited patiently for something to happen. Then we ate another avocado and I increased it, and I had a few of these jars sitting along the windowsill in our house in Adelaide. I was being very patient. The water kept disappearing. I assumed that the avocado seed was soaking it all up, but I think most of it was from evaporation. The jars and the seeds would go a bit slimy and a bit green. The process was taking a lot longer than I had ever anticipated. This is the current state of our windowsill in Winston Hills. True story. See, they go a bit gross, so don't judge me that I haven't cleaned them all out. That was just taken on Thursday, that photo. But when, in my waiting and my frustration, I Googled again and read that the process of growing an avocado tree from a seed to a fruiting tree can take 12 years. Yes, that's correct, 12 years. So I decided that I wouldn't give up my day job and become an avocado farmer. But the 12 years clearly hasn't put me off, because I continue to persevere. And I obviously do have some patience. This tree has been growing for 4 years, if you can call it a tree. It's all relative. It's close to a tree, Sarah's saying. It moved from Adelaide to Sydney, which thrilled my family no end. Some others have my avocado tree. Sarah's got one that's going very well, isn't it? Yeah, see, has it got any fruit yet? No fruit. But James tells us to look at the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Wait patiently. Wait patiently for the land to grow its valuable crops, its fruit. We wait for the seasons, for the rain, for the sun, and then we can reap the rewards. But some crops take a lot longer than others to grow. Sometimes our patience really needs to be enduring. But when the farmer is waiting, she doesn't sit around doing nothing. There is still other work to be done. And the same can be said for us in our seasons of waiting. In our lives, we need to keep working at our faith. James says that we need to be patient and stand firm in our faith. Well, when we were on holidays recently, we visited Lifu Island in New Caledonia. And here I learnt what patience looks like. This is an avocado tree that actually grows fruit. And Dave thought that he would rudely mention to the tour guide about how his wife can't grow trees that look like that. And the lady, who was a New Caledonian, she actually gave me some words of wisdom, and she said, "Your trees need food. They need organic matter." I didn't dare ask what organic matter she was referring to. But I thought to myself how true that is, even for us in life. In the seasons of waiting, that can also be seasons of growing, we still need to feed ourselves. And I'm not talking about the munchies that maybe the young adults get at Equip Camp at 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm talking about how we feed ourselves spiritually. Don't just sit idle. The farmer continues to work. And that's what we need to do as well, to keep working at our faith. James's second example is when he mentions the prophets. Brothers and sisters, James says, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. There are so many prophets in the scripture that still to this day can show us and teach us what it means to be patient, to have to wait for what God has planned. Here's a few, just ones that I've selected. Jeremiah, who's sometimes known as the weeping prophet, he often faced rejection and persecution for delivering God's messages Yet he remained patient and steadfast, even through the rejection. Daniel, known famously for being thrown into the lion's den, and he served under many kings, shared prophetic visions, and all through the challenges that he faced, he consistently trusted and waited on God. Isaiah was a prophet in the time when the people of Judah were straying from God, and he conveyed God's messages, often without seeing immediate change or response. And we know that he prophesied about events that would come a long time after him. Think, for example, when he prophesied about the birth of the Messiah, of Jesus. He was patient. Nehemiah learned about the ruined state of Jerusalem, and he waited and he prayed and he fasted before approaching the king of Persia with permission to rebuild the wall. Well, my personal favourite, I've mentioned here many times, Habakkuk, who wrestled with understanding why God would allow wickedness and injustice to prevail. Yet he learned to wait on God's answers and still found strength in God. And I've shared here before about a man from Ingle Farm who gave me a verse from Habakkuk that I still have stuck up above my desk that says, "But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. It seems slow. Do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day." Just be patient. Many of the prophets had to endure great trials and sufferings. This was not only at the hands of unbelievers, but also at the hands of believers. For some of them, life was so hard, and they had to be patient for years and years and years, yet they remained faithful to who and what God had called them to be. Are you remaining faithful in the waiting? And the third example that James gives us is another prophet, but specifically he mentions Job. "You have heard of Job's perseverance," says James, "and have seen what the Lord finally brought about." Or the authorized version says, excuse me, "You have heard of the patience of Job." Some may question whether Job was in fact patient. His life was full of drama and he often resented what was happening to him. I read this quote this week. We see Job passionately resenting what had come upon him, passionately questioning the conventional arguments of his so-called friends, passionately agonizing over the terrible thought that God might have forsaken him. Few men have spoken such passionate words as he did, but the great fact about him is that in spite of all the agonizing questionings which tore at his heart, he never lost his faith in God. The flame of his faith was never extinguished. And what does Job say? About halfway through the book of Job in chapter 19, he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Job never lost his faith. I could easily finish up here, tell you all to go home and be more patient. Very simple, right? Well, maybe for some of you. But for many of us, and I include myself in that category, this is an area for growth. One of the constants throughout this whole book of James, and Sarah said last week that James is encouraging us to grow or to grow up or to become more mature in our faith. When it comes to growing up and patience, it's no coincidence, and we just sang it, that patience is listed as part of the fruit of the Spirit, along with love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And fruit needs to grow and mature. I think when we look at these three examples of James, that there are ways that we can apply these to our own lives. Let's return very briefly to the farmer. And the farmer can remind us that we need to be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable or out of our control. The farmer could not control the seasons, the weather, the rain, any more than we can control some of the things that are happening and will happen in our life. But as I said earlier, we need to remember to work while we wait. But don't be busying yourself just doing things for the sake of it. We need to continue to seek God in the waiting and ask Him what it is that we should be doing, not focused on our own agenda, but on the way that God can continue to grow us during this season of waiting. The prophets remind us that we need to be patient when people perhaps are unchangeable or causing us hurt or pain or grief. The prophets were all in varying ways trying to share the truth of God with others. And often the messages that they were giving were falling on deaf ears and people would not listen to them. People were not changing. And, you know, although we are not in the business of changing people, there are some in this room, and I know because you have shared with me, who have prayed year after year after year for relationships to be restored, for people to come back to their faith. How does your patience go when it relates to people? I dare not ask you to raise your hand if you've ever needed more patience with a person or two or maybe 27 people. But none of us are perfect. And whether they are family or friends or colleagues or acquaintances or strangers, we need to be patient with people because the truth is that God has not finished with any of us yet. And we are all still a work in progress. And finally, Job. Well, he reminds us that we need to be patient when problems are unexplainable. You know, Job lost his business, his livestock, his family, his health. And he had no idea. There was no explanation, no rhyme or reason perhaps as to why all of this was happening. And for us, a lot of things happen in life that don't make sense. They're not all bad. Even some good things that happen to us don't make sense. And we may never understand this side of heaven. And James refers to that as well, about being patient until the second coming of Christ. Questions may never be answered. And how do you react in this space that you might find yourself sitting in with people? Do you lose faith or do you stand firm? Can you say like Job, I know that my Redeemer lives, even when things are unexplainable? So this morning as we conclude, I want to ask you this. Where is it that you need more patience in your life? Do you relate to the farmer? to the prophets, to Job? Is it in circumstances that you can't control? In people that God has placed in your life and on your heart? Perhaps it's in problems, in situations that are unexplainable. Well, God is not finished with us yet. He's still working and can give us the patience that we need. But we also need to continue to be active and to work, to seek his will, and to be proactive in our growth and in our maturity. And that's the great thing about our Heavenly Father. Because he continues to transform us, to making us all that we can be.